Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back. Good to see you. Geek Cave Podcast Movie Segment. I'm Darren.
Sup, I'm Justin.
Oh, hi there.
I'm Chad, and we're going to talk about movies. But first, before we even get started into the news I have, which isn't an awful lot, we're going to hear what Darren has to say about X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, these thoughts are brought to you by BuzzTime, Shirtosaurus, and GameStop. Game responsibly, I guess.
Don't drink and game. You lose a lot of lives.
The comments, remarks, and opinions by Darren Wright do not necessarily reflect those of our sponsors.
So,
never have, never will.
So, X-Men Apocalypse. It's a movie starring Jennifer Lawrence, Patrick McAvoy. Anyway, it was good, but it was bloated. As in, they probably achieved in 2.5 hours what they could have done in two. So, I would say, if you haven't seen it by now, might as well wait until it comes out on home video. But if you're an X-Men fan, you should do a lot worse.
Go ahead.
There was a great moment, and this is minor spoiler territory here. But there was a great moment where
we see
Scott, Jean, Jubilee, and Nightcrawler leaving a movie theater. They've just seen Return of the Jedi, and they're talking about which of the trilogy is the best. Clearly, the second movie is the best. It always has been, always will be. It had more action. They're obviously name-dropping the original franchise. Well, I think everyone can agree that the third one was terrible. It was a throwaway line. It was uttered by Jean, which was actually poetic. But it was definitely worth it. Wolverine has a cameo because, of course, he does. Because you can't have an X-Men movie without, you know, Snickdush. So, for those heathens of you who haven't seen it yet, you should probably check it out at least when it comes out on home video. Back to you.
I still have to watch the Days of Future Past.
Don't even. No, I mean, watch it. Just don't even tell me you haven't seen it yet.
I already have. I mean, we're all in the same room. It's not like you're, you know, on the Eastern time zone or something.
I don't want to.
Okay, when he comes back, don't tell him that I haven't seen it either.
After watching First Class, and First Class was not a bad movie.
Are you guys done?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're totally not talking about how we haven't seen Days of Future Past.
Son of a... So the first class, not a terrible movie. It was slow. It was trying to set things up. But I watched First Class right after having basically marathoned the other X-Men movies.
There's your problem.
And I started seeing them for pretty much what they are. It's like First Class, I think it only really looked as good as it was because I just watched X3. Because I have not been able to watch through it completely again without stopping it at least twice and just getting up and doing other stuff around the house.
I liked First Class.
So when the second one, Days of Future Past, came out, I'm like, I don't care. I would rather watch a Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, come on.
Such as it is. So.
Boo!
Wait, is he saying boo or boo earns?
I don't know.
Yes.
So, we talked about it just briefly before, and Justin, you haven't seen it, but Darren, did you see the trailer for Moana, the Disney film?
Yes.
Okay. Moana is an upcoming Disney movie set to be released November 23rd of this year, and it's about, who else? Moana. A young navigator who goes looking for a fabled island with a demigod named Maui.
Is
See, I first thought that it was about Mona.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different person.
Hmm. Yeah, I gathered.
So, it looks fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it really does. It looks fine. It looks like typical Disney kind of. It looks like a slightly grown-up version of Lilo and Stitch.
You know what I thought of?
In terms of its, like, animation style.
I thought of Mulan.
Mulan.
You've got a demigod that's not that impressive, that's shown up to help this girl on a journey of self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a lot like Mulan to me.
Heathen.
Son of a bitch.
So, I don't really want to talk about the movie so much, but after the trailer was released, there was some backlash out of New Zealand. Believe it or not.
There are upset people in New Zealand right now?
I don't know why anybody... I don't know how anybody could live in New Zealand and be upset.
They're paying all people to live there now.
All you got to do is look out your window and say, wow, Xena was right there. Then life is better.
They'll give you $165,000 just to show up and buy a house.
I would do it. If I didn't have, you know, family, friends, career, history, connections. But really, there's a lot of reasons why I won't do it. But
that being said,
he'd totally do it.
Right. So, now, Maui, the demigod Maui, he's a big dude. You know, he's portrayed as a big dude. And Jenny Salisa, a member of New Zealand's parliament, took to Facebook and beyond to complain and criticize Maui's body style, claiming that it was encouraging a poor body image for children. Because when we watch cartoons, we expect our good guys to be chiseled and heroic and our bad guys to be not. Either our villains have to be like stick thin, like sickly thin, or they have to be grotesque, like Ursula.
Yeah. You know, what's her name again? Who is this?
Jenny Salisa.
She sounds Australian.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
Well, she has a stupid point, so, you know.
I don't disagree. See, I look at the character design for Maui, and I don't see him so much as fat. Because, to me, fat has to do with proportion. You know, I'm fat. You know, when you look at me, like, from the neck up, I look like a normal person. From the knees down, I look like a normal person. And in the middle,
yes!
I look like a sumo wrestler.
You Not know, so much it, on my end, but yes!
Yeah, it's this idea that, you know, if you look at my hands, you know, they're a particular size. They don't match kind of what the rest of my body style. That, to me, is kind of where fat becomes a descriptor. It's okay. All about proportion. And so for Maui to be fat, I mean, he'd have to kind of look like Kronk from... from Emperor's New Groove, you know, this great big dude with these little chicken legs or something. You know, this idea that there's a part of him that's over, you know, overemphasized.
I just thought Kronk skipped leg day. I thought that's just what he was doing.
You know, but that's not the case. In this case, Maui is proportionally big, and I think it's meant to show kind of strength or power, you know, because he is a demigod. You know, that's...
He's
kind of
the rock.
A powerful thing.
He's just not toned.
Yeah, I would sit with that. That would be fine.
Lots of strength training, not a lot of definition.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, in a world where the idea of your heroic ideal looks a lot more like Amell from Arrow.
Steve Amell, yeah, doing the... shirtless devil's ladder workout.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Having this other image of heroism or of strength or of power is kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And so she can have her perspective, obviously.
Australian perspective.
I can't take that away from her.
Not that I'm putting down people from Australia. I'm just trying to get her shit riled up.
But I...
Those New Zealand heathens, I tell you.
I disagree. In this case, I don't think that Maui is in some way portraying a poor body image. If anything, it's going to encourage kind of this notion of even if you find yourself on the bigger end of the spectrum, maybe you too can be heroic or powerful or strong, or, you know, yeah, none of these things holding you back.
Well, the story has been picked up by like a whole bunch of media agencies now.
Mm-hmm.
And some saying that Disney accused of fat shaming. Like, no, Disney didn't actually fat shame anybody. It was...
No, Jenny Salisa fat shamed.
Yeah. I mean, I pulled up an image of the leads for comparison's sake, and she looks like a waif compared to him, but he just looks like a big guy. Mm-hmm. And see, I always took...
He looks like the Disney version of a big guy.
His face is what I always thought was weird, but as far as like the rest of his look, I just figured he's a demigod. He's not going to look normal, because mm-hmm. he's not normal.
I was going to say, considering that his tattoos are animated...
Yeah.
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 Anyway, I mean, The Rock is voicing him. I think The Rock's tattoos are also animated, so they just wanted to go for...
That might be the case.
Just wanted to go for realism.
And it doesn't sound like The Rock.
No.
Oh, man, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I have to listen. I have to watch this later.
It's weird. It'll be on the Geek Cave.
He goes into podcast.com. He goes into like the higher octave of his vocal range for this.
Yeah. So there we have that. So Netflix is supposedly rebooting Lost in Space.
So tired of these.
With a 10-episode series. And it's produced by the screenwriting team behind such great hits as Dracula Untold and The Last Witch Hunter.
You know, those hits.
I think I'll just leave that there. Our listeners can draw their own conclusions.
I kind of hope it's like Fuller House, where it picks up from the original series. It's just Robbie the Robot. Everyone else has died.
Yeah. 20 minutes. This is fine. This is fine. This is fine.
It's 20 minutes. Robinson, Will. You have always been and shall remain.
Say poking him.
Yes.
So
wake up, Will.
Okay, so there is a new Jesus movie coming this Christmas.
All
Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Yes, for all you heathens out there that need to get a little bit of Jesus in your Christmas.
It's about time that Jesus show up.
It's called Jesus VR.
Wait a minute.
And this is not some strange forgotten Roman numeral. It's not like Jesus VR, you know, the electric blue.
Trying to think what R would be in Roman numerals.
There isn't an R in Roman numerals.
Let's see, Rocky V plus Rocky 2 is Rocky 7, Adrian's Revenge.
This is a Jesus movie in virtual reality, a 90-minute movie was shot in a 360-degree 4K video, which basically it's a special camera. It looks kind of like it's a cylinder. It looks more like a 20-sided dice, but...
Don't be the passion. Don't be the passion. Don't be the passion.
And so for these kind of things, they just about all the time they have to be on location.
Yeah.
And it's all the way around. So I don't know if you guys remember, but a few months ago, I had, you know, kind of this idea that this virtual reality cinema could really be a thing where you could turn around mm-hmm. and you just see more of the scene. And you guys made the joke about how you turn around and see the camera crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
It turns out that it looks like I'm going to be more right on this.
Damn it.
And that come around Christmas, you're going to be able to watch this Jesus movie or turn around and see what the guy, you know, watching Jesus is doing. And... Yeah, fish face, just kind of stuck in one
mouth
spot.
Mouth hanging open, you know, maybe scratching.
So, virtual reality Jesus movie. It's about to be a thing. Okay, so George Romero is finally getting a star on the Walk of Shame.
Yeah.
The Hollywood's Walk of Fame, which when you figure how many people are on that, you start to wonder how
everybody's on there.
How famey is it, really? But when you consider that the 76-year-old director, who is pretty much single-handedly responsible for the modern notion of the zombie movie,
mm-hmm.
had never had a star there.
That's a bit concerning.
It's about time that he's getting one. Ceremony is scheduled for sometime in 2017, so he might still not. But we trust that if he dies... He'll come back and do it anyway.
You can tell how proud Chad was of that joke.
The minutes spent crafting it were.
There was a gleam in his eye as he told it.
And a floral in his beard. It was great.
Yes. Because I'm on vacation, heathens. So, guys, only once that I can think of have I watched a video game movie and thought to myself, I want to see another one of those.
No.
That movie was Resident Evil, by the way. The first Resident Evil movie.
Does Wreck-It Ralph not count?
It does not count.
No, because it's not based on a video game.
Oh, okay.
So based on a video game.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So.
Fair enough.
And even then, I'm not so sure I want to watch Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I kind of want to see him wreck the internet.
Wreck-It Ralph 1 had a nice story arc. It did. Finished it. It worked. I don't know that I need more. Anyway, so.
He's going to break it again.
But by the time the second Resident Evil movie was done, I'd pretty much had enough. I didn't need the extra ones that came after that. Tetris.
Yep.
Is about to be a movie.
Yep.
Actually.
It's more than that.
Make that three movies.
Yep. It's the Tetrilogy.
Tetris is a planned trilogy because, quote, the story is too big for a single movie.
What heathen is writing this movie?
I wish I could tell you. I kind of went into a fugue state when I read that the first time. The guy, however, is super happy that because people were talking about how, you know, you have all these kind of shapes running around dropping into lines. And he said, I'm glad for those people because it sets the bar really low. I hate to tell him, it's like, dude, this is a Tetris movie.
Yeah.
Trilogy. The bar is already set pretty effing low.
And it disappears after you get four.
It's six shapes.
Yeah, but you can hold one. Well, that was just with the latest enhancement. Are we doing like NES Tetris? Or?
You need three movies to make a cohesive storyline about a video game involving six shapes.
That's two shapes per
movie. Guess is that it's going to be... This is going to be the World War Z of Tetris movies in that it's just going to take the subject, the title, and possibly the setting of Russia, and it's going to be all about organization. Specifically socialist. Well, you only get what's next in line.
If they focus on...
You have to make it fit in an established paradigm.
If they only focus on two shapes per movie, they can pull it off.
So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the line piece.
It is what it is. So, speaking of horror things, because I would say that Tetris Trilogy is
pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
The 1976 film Carrie is about to get a special two-disc collector's edition on Blu-ray for its 40th anniversary.
A movie that scared the shit out of my grandfather. Just putting that out there.
For those who don't know, is based on Stephen King's novel the same name, and it's about a physically and mentally abused teenager who discovers that she has the ability, she has telekinesis. The ability to move objects with her mind. Without giving too much away, things do not go well for her. And so she makes things not go well for others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's fair.
Yeah, that is. That's very fair.
It received two Academy Award nominations, one for Best Actress, Sissy Spacek, right?
Yes.
That was. And Best Supporting Actress, probably the mother. Mother was awesome in that. You know, you hated her. Just reach into the screen and throttle her, just like Mother Gethel from Tangled.
Mm.
Anyway, so on to the next one. Bryan Cranston is a really good actor.
He is.
You know, from Hal in Malcolm in the Middle to Heisenberg in Breaking Bad. Man's done well for himself.
He's going to be Zordon.
And for us. And he's recently been cast to play Zordon in the new Power Rangers movie. And that's cool and all. I will agree that's cool and all, but he's also executive producing and playing a part in Electric Dreams, the world of Philip K. Dick. As much nostalgia as the Power Rangers may have for you guys, 'tis not for me. The idea that someone is making a 10-part anthology series based on Philip Dick's short stories makes me so happy. And if you're not aware, Philip Dick's stories are, he's the guy behind the works that became Minority Report.
Ah.
A Scanner Darkly, Total Recall.
Wow.
Blade Runner. You know, his stories are still influencing the way we think about science fiction in film and literature. And now we're going to get a 10-part anthology series that's starring the one who knocks.
Nice.
So I am just like so, so thrilled that this is happening. Because anytime you have something that takes an established author, whether that author is, you know, romance or horror or otherwise, and makes it accessible to a group who may not even know of its existence. You know, just about everybody who's done sci-fi for longer than a couple minutes knows about, like, Isaac Asimov.
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy who created the robotic laws.
Right.
And pretty much every single, you know, author from then on has utilized that.
Heck, even Robocop did to some extent.
Yeah. Philip K. Dick, he wrote pretty much the rest of what we would consider futuristic stuff. So, and that's kind of amazing. And if you don't think it's amazing, you can just drop right back into your heathen hole. So, while I was on Netflix this...
Your heathen white hole.
That's right.
And it's all tied together.
So, I was on Netflix and cruising around and I saw a cartoon. I'm like, okay.
Yay!
You know, I just...
All right.
I wanted something that was reasonably short, and this is, speaking of anthologies, this is an animated anthology called Extraordinary Tales. And it's like, great, so I'll watch a couple of them. If I don't like them, I can turn them off. I could do that with a regular movie too, but I always feel guilty about it. An anthology is like, okay, I watched the good one and I watched a not good one I don't need to see anymore. That's why you can watch Creepshow 2 and just stop after the first segment. And what it is, it's an animated anthology film of Edgar Allan Poe stories. The first two are amazing.
Justin's got the doofiest grin on
his
face.
So the stories are The Fall of the House of Usher, mm-hmm. and The Telltale Heart.
Yes.
Mask of the Red Death, The Pit and the Pendulum, and The Curious Case of M. Valdemar,
uh-huh.
I think is what it is. And I'm just going to skip to the punchlines, because there's two punchlines to this that will make you very happy.
Okay.
The Fall of the House of Usher is narrated by Christopher Lee.
Okay.
And The Telltale Heart is narrated by Bela Lugosi.
What?!
From an old recording he had made, like, back in the 50s.
What?
Bela Lugosi narrates A Telltale Heart.
Holy shit!
And it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, so, we have access to Netflix down here in the auxiliary bunker.
Oh my god! So,
all five segments are done in a different animated style. You know, and very different, to the point where you can tell that they were going after a certain art style or a certain artist in the way they did it. And the whole thing is tied together with Poe as a raven speaking to a statue who represents death. You know, and in between the segments.
Yes.
And so in between the segments, it's them talking about how Poe's trying to achieve some kind of immortality, you know, trying to cheat death, and death always being there. Anyway, and being kind of the stabilizing force. This is an absolute... Not all of them are great. I mean, some of them are better than others in the way that they're portrayed and the way they're done. The Mask of the Red Death is probably the weakest for me in them. Almost no words at all. It's all told through the images and the music. It's still really cool, but if you hadn't read it before, it's going to be that much harder to stick with it. But yeah, it's Raul Garcia is the guy who's kind of behind a lot of this. And quite honestly, you should watch it. If you like Poe at all, this is probably one of the best treatments I've seen in short form. And they're all condensed. You're not getting the full Fall of the House of Usher. The entire thing of Telltale Heart. You're getting little, the 10 to 12 minute versions of it.
The Cliff Note version, basically.
But
still,
go see it. Well, go to your living room, open it up, see it. This is good stuff. I recommend it heartily.
All right. And Justin's just got like the biggest grin.
This is the best news I've heard all flipping day.
All right.
It's because you're a heathen.
It is, and I don't care.
And a fan of good literature. Poe's good stuff.
It is. I love Telltale Heart and The Raven.
The only thing that would have made this better was if you had said Vincent Price was involved with it somehow.
I wish he were.
I know. Because
if Vincent Price had narrated the Curious Case of M. Valdemar, I think that's what it's called, the Curious Case or the Facts in the Case of M. Valdemar, that would be great. Because as it was narrated by Julian Sands. And it's well done, but...
Yeah.
The other one, the... Oh, bugger all.
That's not one of his works.
No.
That doesn't count toward the count either. So.
No, it is. Because the other was Benicio del Toro, or Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro.
Director of Hellboy.
Yeah, he narrated another one, another version, or another section of it. So, by all means, go see it.
Hey, yeah. Very cool. That was, I mean, the talk about the movie was kind of, random, but it was good.
You think? I mean, it just kind of...
Well, it was just kind of like I didn't really expect to be talking about this. That's all.
Well, hey, it came out organically from the rest of... We were talking horror stuff with, we got Romero and
Carrie
and Tetris. It just seemed to fit.
That's fair.
The happiest news can come out of somewhere nowhere, so I'm okay with this. I don't care. Random, unrandom, planned, unplanned, I don't care.
I don't know if I'd say it's random, really.
Yeah.
Twas a nice surprise. Thank you, Chad. You've made my day.
It was nice. You know... It just would have been helped out a little bit more, your review. I mean, if maybe Kent had been in on this.
Well, I don't think we need to bring Kent in on. I mean,
wait.
Kent's a busy guy.
Is he going to like recite The Raven? Because I don't see how his review could have been made even better.
Well, no, maybe
Kent reciting The Raven. Let's think about that.
I know, that's awesome.
Poof,
that's,
The Raven.
That's the only way your review could have been better.
I'm not saying that it would have improved it, but it just would have allowed us to kind of prepare ourselves for the review.
Yes, but then I wouldn't have been as happy as I was.
Well, I mean,
And let's face it, you even said how flippin' happy I looked.
I
still am!
So hearing Kent say, here's Chad Savage, would not have filled you with glee?
It would have, but I would have been prepared for something awesome, either in its absurdity or awesomeness.
Okay.
This caught me out of left field, and I was so pleased with it. Thank you again.
You bet.
I just, it's amazing that...
You're harshing my mellow. Stop it.
Darren, this was not a random movie review. And so shouldn't be having Kent be a part of this.
All right.
I'm warming back to the idea, but right now we're
You're not ready.
We're not ready.
Okay.
We're not ready for this.
That's okay. All right. My apologies.
No worries. We're still friends.
Okay. That's good.
At least I hope we still are friends.
Oh, yeah. You and I don't know about Justin.
I just want to get Netflix fired up. Can we end this so we can get...
Yeah. Be sure to check out our sponsors, Sure Thesaurus, GameStop, and BuzzTime. They've got a prize pack. It's just in time for summer. You can get some great swag, which includes a t-shirt, flip-flops, just for when you hit the beach this summer. Or if you're like us and you're horribly pale, then, to wear around the house. Just be sure to go back and listen to our other episodes this month, comics and gaming, and tabulate how many times we said the word heathen. And that includes that one. And watch for our tweet about it and reply in kind. And if that's too much, we'll come up with something simpler. But for now, play along. That's all I ask. He's Justin. He's Chad. Kent is here with us in spirit. He's alive. He's in Nashville. He's just not with us, okay? thanks a lot for listening. Check out our Extra Life fundraiser, as well as check us out on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. And remember, until we talk to you again, everyone is a geek for something.